Okay, let's begin. Today's topic is the topic of Bris Milah. Okay, three different inyanim. Three inyanim relating to Bris Milah. I'm again using my favorite sefer, Hegyonei HaParsha, by Rabbi Wilner. I'm not Rabbi Wilner, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I always confuse the authors. Aryeh David Wasserman. Okay, how does Bris Milah, Hashem in the sixth parash says to Avraham Avinu, Vayom Elokim El Avol, Sorei Ishtecha. Ishtecha. Your lettuce lecha bein, the karasa es shemo Yitzchak vakimotzias brisi ito levris alam lezaroi achar of the bris alam, according to the simple interpretation, is the Bris Milah. He will have a Bris Milah. In this week's parasha, Hashem says to Avram, you shall have a Bris Milah, and when your son is born, I will establish the Bris. The Bris means covenant of Yadus. It can mean many things what the Bris is, but according to at least some of the Mepharshim, the Bris here refers to that you will do on him a Bris Milah. So the Torah opens up into the sugya. We have the Bris Milah. So first of all, the topic we're going to discuss is there a chiyuv to have a su'uda at a Bris Milah? Why can't you just have a Bris Milah and go home? After davening is over, you do the Bris Milah, mazel tov, and go home. You would save a lot of money. Why is it necessary to enjoy a lavish meal, a su'uda, at the conclusion of a Bris Milah? So he presents over here five different reasons. Very interesting. Reason number one comes from Vayigdal Hayeled. Okay, now Vayigomal Vayas Avram Mishte Godol Biyom Higomeles Yitzchak. Now the truth is, this pasuk Higomeles, we'll jump into this right now, can mean one of three things. Avraham made a mishte godol on the day he gomel es Yitzhak. The word he gomel is translated literally on the day that he was weaned. In the time of Chazal, when was a child weaned?
2 years old.
So that's the pshuta shel mikra. Others interpret this to mean that he made a su'uda b'yom he gomel, means on the day of the Bris Milah, because gimel mol yigomal is nutrikin. Vav Yud Gimel. Now, how does that work? Vayigomal. I forgot this, the gematria. How can I forget this? I don't remember the gematria, but the word Vayigomal somehow alludes to Bris Milah. And therefore, the pasuk is referring to the day when he had the Bris Milah. That's when Avraham Avinu, he made for his son a Mishteh Gadol. The third interpretation is on his Bar Mitzvah. The day of his Bar Mitzvah, Avraham Avinu... Yud Gimel, and what's the Mem Lamed? I don't know. Okay, there are different interpretations, but these are the three popular. So we see over here from this pasuk, we learn explicitly that Avraham Avinu, he made a party. Vayas Mishte Godol, a very elaborate feast on the day, and all the Gedolei Hador, everyone was invited. Chazal say all of the Gedolei Hador were invited to participate in this lavish feast. Okay, second makar. The second makar is from the pasuk in this week's parasha. The Haisa Brisi Biv Sarchem Livris Oilam. Okay, this pasuk is a pasuk that the bris will be in your basar as the bris olam. And there is a medrash. So the second source comes from a medrash. The medrash says is that a bris milah is equivalent to the offering of a karban. When one undergoes a bris milah, it's as if he's offering a karban. The blood that is extracted from the child is equivalent to blood being put on the mizbeach. The fact that the bris milah takes place on the eighth day is equal to the halacha that an animal is only fit for a karban on the eighth day. And then what does it say? What other halacha is there in reference? This is the part that we need for our discussion. What else is necessary for a karban? The ichlu oisam asher kupar bohem. The ba'olim eat, the kohanim eat from the karbanos, and the Ba'alim receive kapara. Part of the process of bringing a carbon is absolutely necessary for the Kohanim to eat, to partake of the carbon, and by eating of the carbon, the Ba'alim receive atonement. So that same exact principle is going to be applied to Bris Milah. When you have the Su'udah, and all of the people are going to participate, they're all going to participate and be nena from the Su'udah, they're going to participate in nena from the Su'udah, that serves the purpose of making the Bris Milah in equivalent to the offering of a carbon. Reason number three, Yisrael. By Yisrael it says, Vayovei Aaron v'chol ziknei Yisrael lechol lechem im chaysein b'yishel lefnei Elokim. Why was he called the Chaysein? He was called the Chassan. Chaysein, the Medrash says, he was called the Chaysein. Not only does it literally mean a father-in-law, but Chaysein is similar to the word Chassan. Chassan damim lamulois. He was a Chassan on that day. Why was he a Chassan? Because that was the day when Yisrael converted. He became part of Klal Yisrael. And conversion requires tefillah, umila. Requires circumcision. And what does it say in association with Yisrael? They all sat down to eat. So you see here that it has to be a Su'udah. Reason number four. It says in the Pasuk, Sos anoichi al imro secha ki moitzei sholol ra-pasuk in Tehillim, which Chazal dashed, what does this Pasuk refer to? It refers to Bris Milah. Why is Bris Milah called Sos? Because Bris Milah is something that's always with you. Other mitzvot are here and there, one day a year, occasionally. But Bris Milah is a permanent reminder of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's called Sos. And the fact that it's called Sos, Simcha always means, Ein Simcha Ela B'Bosar V'Yayin. Simcha always associated with food. Reason number five, as Pasuk in Tehillim, Isfu Li Chasidai, Korsei Bris Ale Zevach. And this pasuk in the Medrash interprets this in reference to Bris Milah. The word Ale Zevach means Zov Ches. That's the Medrash. Zov Ches means the blood flows on the eighth day. And since Zov Ches also means a sacrifice is a carbon which is eaten by the Kohanim, this is an indication that when the Zov Ches, on the eighth day when the blood flows, there has to be a Zevach, there has to be some type of celebration. So to review very quickly, if you want to know the Makar, he presents here second to none and how he presents this. There are five sources as to why we are required to celebrate a Bris Milah with a lavish Su'udah. Number one, Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigomal Vayas Avram Mishte Godol Biyoim Higomel Es Yitzchak. Higomel is, oh that's it, Higomel is Bigamatria, Hey Gimel is 8 Mol. Hey Gimel, 8, on the 8th day he circumcised Yitzchak. That's source number 1. Source number 2, the Pasuk V'hoysa Birisi Bivsarchem Libris Oilam. Medrash, it's a carbon. A carbon has three parts. A carbon, this blood, animal has to be at least 8 days old. The Ochlu Oisam Asher Kupar Bohem Mikan Shakohanim Oichlim V'abolim Mischarpim. There must be an Achila in order to achieve the full dosage of what the carbon is for. Number 3, Moshe and his father-in-law. Yisrael, the Chosein Moshe, Chosein is synonymous, has the same root as Chassan. He was a Chassan on that day, Chassan Domim. The Chassan Domim, the Bris Milah, and what did they do? They went, they sat down to eat Lechol Lechem. Number 4, Sos Anoich Alim Rosech, Kamotse Sholorov. The fact that it's called Sos automatically requires us to have a Suda. Reason number 5, Isfuli Chassidai Karse Bris Ale Zevach, Ches Zov. On the eighth day, the blood flows. It's also called the Zevach. Okay, next topic. Next topic is the Su'udah that we've just quoted over here from these five different sources. Does this upgrade the Su'udah to a din de'oraisa, a din de'rabbanan, or a minhag? You ever think about it? When you go to a Bris Milah, what exactly are you doing? So the truth is, machlekes across the board. From Rashi, it's mashma, then it's doiraisa. Now, what's the raya? Very fascinating, because Rashi says the reason why Bris Milah is on the eighth day is because It should not be that everyone else is happy and the parents are sad. Everyone else, Nikra Din, a woman doesn't have to wait more than 7 days after later to be with her husband. Today a woman waits a lot longer, obviously, whatever the lachos are, but Nikra Din only 7 days. So if the bris milah would take place during the first 7 days, it would be during a time when the wife and the husband would be also one to each other. So therefore, the Torah says wait 8 days, so it should not be everyone else is besimcha and they are betzar. The fact that Rashi says everyone is besimcha, they must be besimcha, indicates that it's a zman of simcha. A zman of simcha means there should be food. It's a deraisa, a little bit of a stretch, but that's what he says over here, is that according to Rashi, smash the sudas besmila the sil simcha de oiraisa. Other Rishonim say it's only midrabanan, and in Shulchan Aruch this is a very, very big mystery. The Shulchan Aruch writes noihagim la asoy suda biyom hamila. Big mystery. Why the Shulchan Aruch writes that it's only a minhag from the Rishonim with smash mila deraisa derabanan, and the Shulchan Aruch downgrades the suda to a din derabanan. Unique, interesting Shulchan Aruch. Okay, next topic. Next topic is how, in front of how many people ideally should the bris milah be performed? Is it enough to bris milah in front of 3 people, 2 people, do it alone, just have someone call, have a moel come and do it privately? Or is there a hakpada that it should be done at least in front of 10 people? And the answer is yes, there is a hakpada that the bris milah be done in the presence of at least 10 people. Bris milah is certainly deraisa, there's no question about it.
Just I'm talking about the seat.
Okay, so should it be done in front of 10 people? So the answer is yes. There is a hakpada that it should be done dafka in front of 10 people. So what's the reason? So one reason is lipersumi mitzvah. Some reason that bris milah is a mitzvah we want to be mafarsim, we want to publicize. Why do we want to publicize it? I'm not sure. But it's a mitzvah that's meant to be publicized. What?
That this person had a bris.
All right, so therefore anything... Anything that requires person requires 10 people. Okay, the next reason is because it's a sudas hoida. It's like because the child came out of prison. The child was in his mother's womb. The child was in his mother's womb. And the child that comes out of the mother's womb is means mater mibes asurim. And someone who comes out of prison has to bring a carbon toidas birchas hagoimel. The child obviously can't do it, so therefore we do it on his behalf. Now when a person makes birchas hagoimel, you have to make birchas hagoimel in front of 10 people. So the baby can't do it, but we do it for the baby by at least having 10. It's a very good reason. The next reason, and that's the reason, in fact, by the minhag svar, that's why they say, before the bris milah, hoidu l'Hashem ki tehillah, read the little psukim, Shema Yisrael. By the litvaks, it's very, very dull. They just start the bris milah. By the nusach svar, they begin with Shema Yisrael, and they begin, I don't know, the few psukim, on Hashem, Oshina, Shema Stichana, hoidu l'Hashem ki toiv ki liyolim chasto. Why do you say l'Hashem ki toiv? That serves as the toiv, carbon toida, a birchas hagoyim, a birchas toida, that we say on behalf of the child, if it's since being said, you have to have at least 10 people. Reason number 3.
Excuse me, what happens if you don't have 10 people?
If you don't have, so you don't have. You don't have a stam ma'akif. It's not ma'akif. If you don't have 10 people, it's still okay. Okay, reason number 3 is edus. Now, when we have testimony, when we provide testimony in halacha, you only need 2 people. You only need to have 2 people to testify that something is true. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, you need 10. Very interesting concept. Eidus by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 10 people. Why is that so? I don't know. But that's how it is. So since Bris Milah is the Eidus, that we are His people, Tam Shlishi Bo'or Zerua, Be'er Dimamash Amr B'herki D'Rer V'Leza, it's a Pirik D'Medrash, Kol Eidus Shenosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li Yisrael Lo Nidna Ela Ba'asara. Where does that come from? I don't know. L'chein Tzrichim What? Eidus. Eidus. No, that's another...
It's
10. Okay, that's another idea he gives him, but he says that this is edus. It's not just an edo. You have to testify on the father that he has done the bris milah. Okay, reason number 4. And this is a nice reason, is because what do we say by the bris milah? Kishem shnichnas lebris. We are bringing the child into Klal Yisrael. He is entering the covenant, entering Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is an Eda. You can't have a representation of Klal Yisrael less than 10 people. Menela, so since we're saying Kashem Shenichnas Libris, where is he Nichnas? He's Nichnas into Klal Yisrael. Menela, you have to have at least 10 people that it should be considered, we should fulfill what it says Kenichnas. Reason number 5. The Gemara says that Me'ikar Hadin, we should say on a bris mila Shehasimcha Bima'inai, we should say a special bracha. The only reason why we do not say Shehasimcha Bima'inai is because of Tsara Dinuka. Tsari Dinuka, the baby is crying, so we don't want to subject the baby to Tsar, so we don't, but really we should, that we only say Shehasimcha Bima'inai, that is an indication that the Shechina is here. And Ein Shechina Pachos me'asar. Since we really should say the bracha shasim ha'bon, it's an indication that we have to have the Shechina's presence. The Shechina requires 10 people. So let's review. Halacha l'maisa, l'chadchili is supposed to have a bris mila in front of 10 people. What are the 5 reasons to review? Number 1, to be mefarsim. We want to publicize the fact that this child is Jewish, has a bris mila. Number 2, because the child needs to say birchas ha'goynel. It came out of Masr of Sakana. The child can't do it, so we'll do it for him. Birch Kama requires 10 people. That's why we say Chodesh Hashem Kiyam Kiyam Chasdo. Number 3, I don't know what this means. It's a Pirkei de Eliezer. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies about Klal Yisrael. Hashem's testimony is not like our testimony. Our testimony is 2. Hashem's testimony is 10. Bris Mila is Hashem's statement that you are my people. You need 10 people. It's an interesting concept to keep in mind. 2 different types of edus. Reason number 4, we recite Kishem Shenichnas Libris, we're bringing the child into the covenant. Who are you bringing to Klal Yisrael? You need a Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is 10 people. Reason number 5 is because we say Shasimcha B'Mo'inai, which indicates the Shechin is present. If the Shechin is present, you have to have 10 people to be a host for the Shechina. Okay, next topic. The next topic is a short topic. Are you allowed? Should a person invite someone to a bris mila? Do you invite people to a wedding? Of course. You send them invitations, you invite them. Do you invite a person to a bris mila? The minig is no. The minag Yisrael is you bimodia. You announce that their bris mila will take place at this point in time, but you do not invite a person. Why not? Only what?
Only the father of the nimah.
Oh, well, right, of course. Okay. He's supposed to do it. It's his mitzvah. He's a mitzvah.
Right, but if the grandfather.
So what's the reason why? So the truth comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says that there are 7 people that are minudin lashamayim. There are 7 people that are excommunicated from heaven. Heaven wants nothing to do with these people. Number 1, a Yehudi she'ein loy isha. Someone has no wife. He's minudeh. Lashamayim. Number 2, v'sheyesh la'isha ve'ein le'banim. He has a wife but does not have children. I guess this means he chooses not to have children. Number 3, a person who has children, has a wife and children, but he does not send them for Talmud Torah, to learn to study Torah. Number 4, a person does not wear tefillin, chooses not to wear tefillin. Number 5, tzitzis v'mishel le'til b'reshav tefillin b'bzoyoy, v'tzitzis b'bigdoy, u'muzo b'pishoy. Okay, those people does not have tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah. That's number five. Number 6 is a person that doesn't wear shoes. A person that walks around barefoot. In Shemayim, they're not happy with this type of person for whatever reason. Then the Gemara says, v'yeshoimrim. It's only a yeshoimrim. It's not. This is what's very important. It's only a yeshoimrim. Af mi she'ein meisiv b'chavura shel mitzvah. If you choose not to sit in a group that is busy performing a mitzvah. Now, what does that mean? What type of mitzvah are we referring to? So this is a major machlokes rishonim. So some say, Rabbeinu Chananel says, it means kiddush. If you don't go kiddush Friday night. If you choose not to recite Kiddush Friday night. Tosfos says it refers to Bris Mila. Because Chazal say anyone that participates in the Bris Mila is Nitzel Midina Shel Gehenim. Number 3, Tosfos brings another interpretation that refers to a wedding. A Simchas Nesuin, but only when it's a Simchas Nesuin of a Talmud Chacham marrying a Bas Talmud Chacham or a Bas Koyin to a Koyin. Okay, so these are These are the different now. So the halacha lemaisa, what do we follow? We follow the first opinion of Tosfos, that a person that does not participate in a chavura of mitzvah is menudeh l'shamayim. It refers only to a bris milah, like with Tosfos' first interpretation, not like Tosfos' second interpretation. Therefore, we do not want a person to be menudeh l'shamayim if he'll be invited to a bris milah and will choose not to come. That is the top. Now the question over here is, what about why is a wedding different? Why, according to the first, so there's a lot of interpretation. According to Rav Moshe, I'm not really clear what Rav Moshe says, but he writes here from Rav Moshe, you have to see this inside, what he means is the difference between a bris milah and a wedding. By a bris milah, who's inviting you? The one that's inviting you is the father. He's inviting you. A wedding, it's the chassan himself. It's not really the parents. The wedding itself demands that you come. So it's a different type of chiyuv. There is an invitation. By a wedding, it's not so much an invitation, it's participating in a mitzvah. I don't want to go. But when it's a bris milah, it's the father's mitzvah, and it's the father, he's doing the inviting. What that means exactly, I don't understand all these words, maybe you understand it better. Okay. Now, halacha l'maisa, we are fine. Now halacha l'maisa, I'll give you a story. Someone once asked, people don't always go to a bris milah. Sometimes people are invited, I'm making a bris milah, please come, and we find more often than not people do not come. So why are we not concerned bizman hazeh for being menudeh l'shamayim? L'chatchila, you should never invite a person to a bris milah. You can be modia, don't put him in this situation, but if a person is invited, why not? So someone once asked this to the Chazon Ish. It's shocking what it says here. So in why don't people come? So the Chazon Ish says this only applies if the chavura are exclusively made up of people, anoshim mihu ganim, people that are proper people, people who conduct themselves in a proper way. But if the people conduct themselves in a way that's not proper, you're not mechuyev to participate. So the fellow asks, so what does it mean a person that's not conducting themselves anoshim sheinim hu ganim? So the Chazon Ish gave three examples. A person who's not zohir in the tilas yodayim. You don't wash your hands the way you are required to do 100%. Number two, a person that is not nizar in cleaning himself properly when he comes out of the Beis HaKiseh. And number three, a person that does not concentrate on the whole Shemona Esrei.
Wow.
So basically, the Chazon Ish says, no one today, bizman hazeh, is begeder anoshim mihu ganim. Shocking what he says. Okay, that's nizar in all of these three things. Where did he get this from? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know where he got this from, these things. Mimela bizman hazeh, there is no hakpada bizman hazeh in attending a bris milah, in not attending a sudas mitzvah, because the people are people that are not mihu ganim. So that's one of the heterim. Other heterim is bittul Torah, or if you are, the only prohibition is if you're there and you don't participate. But if you don't even come, you buy the bris milah, but you don't come to the suda, that's not. If you buy the suda, you don't eat something, that's a violation. But if you don't even come, that's not a violation. Bittul Torah, or if parnasa, or it just disturbs your Seder Hayom, these are all exceptions. Only when you have nothing else to do and you're already there and you deliberately go and show, this is not for me, that makes one menudeh l'shamayim. But once a person has a legitimate excuse for not coming, that takes away from menudeh l'shamayim. Okay, the next issue over here is what exactly is called hazmana to a bris milah. So some want to say it's only technically called a hazmana to a bris milah if you invite the person at least twice. If you only invite them once, that is not necessarily a hazmana. If you call them over the phone, that's not maybe considered to be significant enough that it should be called menudeh l'shamayim. A real hazmana is you go to the person and sit down. Personal invitation. Over the phone. An email for sure. People complain today. Today invitations have taken a nosedive. People make invitations, they still make invitations, but today it's become a very big trend to send invitations or to RSVP through email, through.
So halacha is you send the check by email.
So it became a whole new.
Svardim don't do this.
You
work.
What?
Know that Svardim invitations to the weddings are not sent in the mail. They are
personally delivered. Oh, you see that? See, the Svardim personally deliver invitations.
They save you some of the postage. They make sure it gets delivered.
Yeah. What is that?
So this is another issue. This is an important issue. What exactly is called a hazmana that should be counted halacha to be called menudel hashamayim? Okay, with that, we will conclude.
Stop.